But soon he will learn manners. I will torture his body so that his soul learns to be humble.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right? I mean, we just getting people interested in
Cage Against the Machine.
Leaders of the New School was like the Billy Ocean of hip hop.
Where's the problem?
Oh, man.
Like, the hits were there, but the longevity
Billy Ocean?
Wasn't. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, there was no...
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, Caribbean Queen all day.
Get come into on. My dreams.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then,
right. Right.
But oh, I'm, man. All I'm suggesting...
But just remember, just, that was one of Big Boy's aliases.
I want you to do is just remember that, like...
Ooh, I said,
like,
hey.
Like, Tribe was like... I'm just saying you may have bet on the wrong horse on that one.
It wasn't a bet. I was just saying it was redundant to me. Because if you just said, I mean, I think the discography of De La outlast Tribe.
Ooh.
Tribe puts out an album every 3 years. De La
so the discography, okay, but then, but.
Honey, check it out. You got me mesmerized with your black hair and your fat ass thighs.
Everybody remembers those thighs.
What?
Those thighs?
Come on, son.
Really?
Come on, son.
And like, how and like, no one would even try to like to discredit De La. So that's not what it's about.
Exactly. And absolutely
also,
not.
And also, let's bring up the fact that we brought up before. De La has probably knocked out most of people's favorite rappers from that era.
Hey, you know what, man? Back in the day, this is a true story. I at Harrison and something, what was the club?
Trocadero. Last Cat.
No. We're old
Barry hip hop heads.
Oh my god. I can
we
see
said
it.
Stuff like the club
yeah,
at Harrison.
Yeah.
So you know we're old.
Okay, City Nights.
City Nights!
So I bought Zev Love X a 40 at City Nights.
Do you know who Zev Love X is, you guys?
No, I do not.
Have you ever heard a song called The Gas Face?
I can't say that
yeah,
I have.
You have.
It's, there's it's, a member it's, on there called Zev Love X, and he had a twin brother.
He's from KMD.
And they had a group called KMD. Unfortunately, his twin brother died.
Yeah.
And then he came back in a new incarnation known as MF Doom.
Yep.
There you go. Brain, nice. 10 points.
So Zev Love X asked me to buy him a 40. It was me, Brand Nubian, De La Soul, at some corner store. I bought him a 40, and then I was like, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have bought this guy a 40. What if he gets into some shit? What if he gets ran over, beat up? Like, it'll be on you. And then I remember just, like, talking with them about De La, and they were just saying that, like, Maceo and the other guy were really regular fucking...
Yeah, yeah, no, they
out
constantly.
Regularly, because people would always be like, oh, y'all some soft ass hippie yep. niggas.
And they had the little brother feeling because they're from Long Island.
Yeah.
So they had to prove something.
Yeah.
For those of you guys just tuning in, we are back. It is Cage Against the Machine. I forgot my podcast.
Easy for
name.
You to say.
Round zero. We are the premier podcast for urban culture, hip hop, African diaspora, MMA. My Mozambican brother doesn't want me to say that, but we've traveled all over the world meeting our family members, and they still love us, so we get to say that. We're here to talk about UFC 238, Cejudo versus Moraes. It's going to be a great
fight.
Well
done.
I'm getting there.
Well done.
It's June, and so we started a tradition last year. June was, with the esteemed Fred Yu, June was Jiu-Jitsu June. And to keep the tradition alive, we have brought in a special guest. But before we get to our special guest, can we just take a moment and announce it's Gemini season. It's Gemini season! We are here to innovate, and then we're going to go back and give you your planet.
And to prove how psycho Geminis actually are, Mr. Sweet here said the blasphemy, talked about blasphemy, of not liking Tribe Called Quest.
He
who
actually said that out
does?
Loud.
He said that out
he said
loud.
That out loud.
Let me show you what happens when you've been traumatized and you start revising. I didn't say I didn't like. I said I felt they were redundant. I grew up in Berkeley.
Okay.
Everybody buying that. Don't Adisa, use Berkeley as Adisa. An excuse for why you didn't like
Everybody in Berkeley was wearing tie-dyed 60s clothes.
What does that have to do with the actual music, man?
So if everybody looks that way, why do I want to listen to it? I can see that in my backyard.
Come on, man.
Low-end theory was out of control.
For you, it was out of control. For me, it was not.
But need an apple bum.
Instinctive travels, bro.
Come on, bro.
Really?
I'm glad. I'm happy for you. I'm happy that you found meaning.
You didn't say what the blasphemy
See, hold
was.
Up.
You didn't identify the real blasphemy.
Come on.
The I'm happy you found meaning.
Come on.
The real blasphemy is who he said he chose instead. Who would you rolling for instead?
Got a
say
point
that.
There.
Because that's what highlights the insanity. It's
that,
not,
that,
it's
that,
not
you
like
got a point. Wait, you got a point.
Hold on. This is the problem with smart people. Your favorite remix by Tribe.
Don't try to. No, that's diversion.
Wait, hold on.
What's your favorite remix by Tribe?
Tactic.
But when the original is hot, I gotta remix it.
Wait, who's on the original?
Please say, sir, for those that are with us.
I'm losing the argument, with. So no, I won't no, answer
no,
the question.
No.
Gemini season. So glad you're here. Can we bring in the rap mural?
Hold on. So since he won't answer the question, I'll do it for him.
Like a dungeon dragon.
Leaders of the new school
he
over
chose
tribe.
Leaders of the new school
I didn't say over.
Quest.
I didn't say over.
You said,
over.
Exactly
I didn't say
said.
Over. I
that's
said,
exactly what you
I said
quote.
I preferred.
Okay,
same,
time out.
Same crap, but a different
it's not,
way.
It's not. It's not. If I say I don't eat that, that doesn't mean I don't like it.
The comedy of it, though, bro, is that you chose the Billy Oceans of hip hop.
Get into
my
dreams.
It's not
Dude,
either or.
Leaders of the New School had a few hits breaking out, and they fizzled, bro. They fizzled. And you're trying to compare, like, I did that instead of like the legendary, epic, ever unfolding Tribe, dog.
No, yeah. I was actually, if I'm honest, I was listening to completely different stuff than Tribe when they came out.
Stop, bro. You're just trying.
I was listening to Living Color.
See, y'all see this?
I was listening to Living Color.
See what happened? Cage Cousins, what you just witnessed right now is the track rolling on the train rolling on the track,
Cage
and
doesn't.
The track was getting ready to end.
Round,
see, so he tried. So he
round
tried to
zero
pull the switch
and round the tape back, and you'll see these guys try to change their story, try to Mueller the argument.
Oh my goodness! Executive producer, so can you please run this back? Can you please?
No, the
we
audience
got
can.
Receipts. We got receipts.
We have many receipts.
We have receipts.
I think the receipts are going to go badly in your way.
No.
Okay.
I don't think you get it.
Okay.
I've been having this argument for 20 years. No. So let me introduce my guest real quick.
Okay.
I've known this brother half of my living life, most of my professional hip-hop life. He was very instrumental in a coalition called the Bay Area Hip-Hop Coalition, which made sure... Most people don't know this. Hip-hop was actually illegal in most cities. Live hip-hop was illegal in most Bay Area cities. From
back in the day, for sure.
1989 that is true. Till that is true. 1993. He was part of the coalition that was able to find ways
and
to
And then it was reinstated.
Yeah. That used the advocacy group of DJs and record promoters and artists that was able to book it called the Bay Area Hip-Hop Coalition. He was very involved in the Gavin, bringing artists to perform around. One of the first... journalist from the Bay Area, in my opinion, that I felt was sort of credible because he was in the culture rather than trying to get promo records and take pays.
There was
for,
a lot of
plays.
That. There was a lot of that.
I'm gonna keep talking about him. He and I grew up around a local scene called the Berkeley Square, around this digital underground under a guy by the name of Tupac Amaru Shakur, whose birthday is June 16th, Gemini season. And then again. Adisa has evolved and was probably one of the first people to kind of embrace the collaborative and the wonderful army known as the Wu-Tang. And I still remember that day at the Gavin.
Yeah.
And kind of talk about them in the Bay Area and contextualize them for people who are used to Too Short. He and I have been training martial arts our whole life. It was never something we could really talk to our culture about, sadly.
Yeah, it was weird.
We used to make the joke that I'll see you in 20 years. And we'll do something about it.
Yeah.
And to give him props, Adisa is deeply involved in jiu-jitsu. He has started a nonprofit by the name of the Hip Hop Chess Federation. And he teaches young people who look like us the connection between chess and jiu-jitsu and how it connects your left and right brain. has written a couple books.
Yep, just a few.
And is able to bring the RZA to come and judge chess tournaments.
Yeah, yeah, it's been fun.
Did I cover that right?
Yeah.
I also got to give him props because there was a time when we ran into each other and I said, I'm done with this rap stuff and I'm going to go work in tech because I really need to be in a decision-making place before I see our people get pimped anymore. Yeah. And he was like, what a coincidence. And so I appreciate that we're still alive. So,
yeah.
Cage Cousins, give it up for the Bishop, Adisa Pajanko. You have a podcast yourself.
I do.
Talk about it.
Yeah, so my podcast is called Bishop Chronicles. It's the first, you know what I'm saying, podcast to cover West Coast perspectives on hip-hop, martial arts, and health trends. And, you know, we run it on farsidetv.com. Shout out to Brown. Shout out to Mike Realm and everybody out there. And, you know, we talk about real things to deal with either hip-hop and education, jiu-jitsu, workouts, who's fighting who, old school Brazilian jiu-jitsu stories, you know what I'm saying? Tell you how, like, why is the Bay so beautifully rich in martial arts, not just jiu-jitsu, but across, you know what I'm saying, like all styles. You know, we have these kind of conversations and we talk about old school hip hop and some new school stuff. Know what I mean? Like we have it's dope. I hope you come through and hang out.
So
thank you for having me on the show.
Yeah, no, we owe you. We'll put something on the calendar. Yeah, no, it's taking too long. We'll put something on the calendar as soon as we're done taping. I promise you. I think these guys would be interested. We'll do something. We'll come over and
Be on the Chronicles, bro. So we can talk, bro.
So a lot to catch up on in the world of MMA this month.
But before we start, I just gotta say, there's something that really seems prevalent right now.
Yes,
Mr. Sweet.
Yes,
relax yourself. Okay, continue.
Wow.
This is him relaxed.
No, see.
Who is their manager?
Adisa got that one.
Who is their manager?
I don't know. Who was their manager?
Queen Latifah, but you can't name one of her songs.
Oh, she was too busy listening to them.
I know.
I can.
Who kept
How dare you?
Who kept them from getting beat up? I'll give you a hint. Knuckle up. Guard your grill.
And I'm gonna assume that you have a
point. Other things happening in hip hop besides Tribe Called Quest.
Wow. You know what? You know what I realized, man?
Just relax yourself.
You are really upset with Tribe.
Like, I'm not upset.
This isn't just about a preference.
I'm concerned with your narrative of hip hop elitism that has damaged the culture.
What are you talking about? They're absolutely legends.
I don't understand. Okay,
let me ask you a question. Seriously.
Hoist is a legend, right? But you could also learn from Machado, right?
Of course.
That's what I'm saying.
No.
Why is that only what you're saying?
Bro.
That is what I'm saying.
That's not what you're saying.
Come on, man.
Why in 1990 did Sony make a disc changer with 5 discs?
Y'all can do more than that.
Y'all see that? No.
Y'all see that?
A pimp called
Y'all see that?
Because what we're looking at here, if you're really being honest, we're looking at Hoist, right? And you're saying that you chose a random fighter from way back who had 2 good fights and just didn't come back again.
Oh, Lordy.
2 good fights, but they didn't come back. And Hoist, meanwhile, made a legacy. You know, Tribe made a legacy, bruh. Leaders of the New School has some good fights.
You really latched onto that, but you didn't latch onto De La Soul or anybody else I mentioned that I was listening to.
Oh, that's because
I noticed you avoided the first black heavy metal band.
We're not going to sign
to a major label. You avoided Queen Latifah. I noticed you avoided Naughty by Nature.
I didn't avoid Queen Latifah.
I wasn't listening to Tribe in 1990. I ain't listening to them in 2019.
But claim your hate is all we're saying.
I don't hate them. You know what I hate? I hate documentaries seeing dudes who want to kill each other and can't get that money. That's what I hate. I hate how rap turns each other against each other. That's what I'm saying about Wu-Tang. I didn't want to watch that documentary because I don't want to see the drama.
But wait, time out. You're sitting up here talking about hip-hop turning against each other, but aren't you
by choosing not to listen to an album? So you're saying, wait a minute. So I didn't remember signing up for your death camp in year zero where I have to listen to the music you say.
Cage Cousins.
This is out of pocket.
Do you see my face?
Are you hearing this?
This is
ridiculous. One snap of the glove and half of all your albums will disappear, sweet.
Damn it.
You hear this, ladies and gentlemen? I'm not allowed to listen to anything but Tribe.
No, we never said that.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, I just want to point out one thing. I want you to notice Mr. Sweet's uncanny ability.
Uncanny X-Men.
To be able to escape a subject.
You're like the Houdini that. Of debates, bro. You're just pulling all the
Rolex scholars. That's Ghostini.
I mean, you may as well just jump out of a damn helicopter and pull the parachute.
Well, I'm hanging out with a jiu-jitsu guy. Maybe I'm good at escapes.
He's escaping.
By the way, we just did a podcast. Shout out to Just Being Earn. Okay, we did a great podcast as promised. It premiered today. We're gonna put it out on our channel too. It was the Cage Avengers meets the Guardians of the Ghetto.
Wow. That sounds epic.
Endgame crossover podcast.
That sounds dope.
Maybe one of our best.
Yeah, it was high. Man, hilarious.
A lot of hilarious moments in that one, ladies and gentlemen. So please go to YouTube, check it out.
Shout out to Earn. Shout out to Daniel Oda.
Gentlemen, we thank you.
Cleveland, can you be there next time? Okay. So we got some fights coming up in the prelims, but before we get to that, we got to quickly talk about some drama. Yoel Romero, $27 million won in a court settlement.
$1 million!
So
that's a lot of money, bro.
So we've learned two things.
Hold up. Let's be exact here. That was $27,450,000.
Right.
Dang.
And
I'd be happy with the $450,000.
And what I liked was the $3 million segments. It was like $3 million for lying, $3 million for breaking the contract. So that was cool.
And $3 million for lost wages, and then something about the New
emotional
Jersey
distress. Yep.
Damage, emotional distress.
Fraud act.
Hey, there you don't have any emotions, so you can't just bet. Oh,
and
cool.
If you know 3 times 9,
it's
27.
Elias Theodoro dismissed by the UFC.
Yeah.
Where's the problem?
So, but also Big Pretty got taken out. And
well, as you pointed out earlier, that might be a Yair Rodriguez thing. We don't know for certain.
Yeah, because he just signed a contract now.
Yeah, I think they're just playing hardball with him. So there's that.
Sometimes you go to the wharf and smell fish.
What do we have any other big news that we actually should speak on? I think to JK's point, Mighty Mouse is the only person to be able to survive a 1FC after leaving UFC. Is that true?
But he still lost, but it was a decision.
Yeah, but everybody else dies. Like every UFC fighter that's going to 1FC is just getting mauled. Yes? You
know, yeah, didn't that happen to Northcutt? He just got his eye socket removed.
Yeah, his whole 38 bones.
And he's like the pretty boy. He was like the pretty boy savior.
Yeah.
And they just tossed him into the dungeon, bro.
Yeah.
it's crazy, bro. It's crazy.
And I'm still in mourning about Rose, but I'll deal with it later. This next card makes up for it.
Yeah, those things happen.
I might not watch this European card this weekend.
There's no question.
Well, it's on at like 7 in the morning or something.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, for a guy like me, I'm up in
it. I might watch it.
Yeah, I'm up in
it. I need to get you two sleeping. So that's about it.
I'll be on the main card.
We're going to take a word for the people who pay for our podcast, starting with our official sponsors, Seawolf. If you are in downtown Oakland, near Jack London, and you need a place to watch MMA, meet good friends, have a clean paleo salad.
A clean paleo salad?
And a nice alcoholic beverage. Then look no further than Seawolf.
I'll take a non-alcoholic beverage, but the rest I want in my life.
The staff are welcoming, friendly, and you will have a great time. And I can't say enough good things about them. Other than that, I am the Sweet MBA. I am joined by our special guest, Adisa Bajenko.
Spanjoko.
I can speak all these other great languages.
He butchers it every time, and I don't mind it. I don't mind it, but
there's a possibility I know how your name is said.
It's all right.
But because people keep adding S to my last name.
You look.
Really?
Mr. Sweets.
That happens?
It's Banjoko. B-A-N. It's like banjo knockout.
Wait, hold on. You understand? That actually happens.
Banjo knockout.
Frequently.
Wow.
Mr. Sweets, like Banjoko. I make cookies.
But the reality if it makes you feel any better.
Making the Banjoko.
Yeah. If it makes you feel any better. Everybody seems to always add a D or a T to my name, and then they want to say Akins when it's Akins.
Mm.
So if it makes you feel, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Akins is the original pronunciation of that name, and it is from my home country. It's not English.
Just see?
Want to point that out.
And that is the good Dr. Atkins. And we're also joined by Brain Damage. We'll be right back. Don't go anywhere.
West Coast.
This is...
And we are black.
As hell.
And brown.
And brown. Black and brown.
Speaking of
that's black, that unity right there. La Raza, see?
La Raza. You used to do stuff like that. We should talk about that.
I did.
Going to the jails, making sure Latino brothers who thought they hated black people started to love
really
us.
Really didn't.
You. I love you. Thank you. Other reason why I love this man. Let me give him some more props. This guy brought Eazy-E to the Bay Area.
So... I did the first article ever on Eazy-E, and not long after that article came out, and it was in a high school newspaper. I was in high school. I was a junior in high school. He came out with NWA. He came out with NWA at a roller rink in Richmond and did a show, and it was bonkers. I didn't really bring him out, but like, you know, I mean, I wrote about him and we came.
Boy, you should have known by now. Eazy does it.
Hey, I was...
You know, fresh. Speaking of bonkers, one of the fights on the early prelims that you guys should pay attention to is Miss Angela Hill versus
Yan Xiaonan.
Why should you watch this? Yan is the first Chinese female woman in the UFC. That doesn't mean that she's the first Chinese woman. It means she's the first woman from China. Also, she has the same birthday as Tupac, which means, once again, Gemini season! I'm going to bet she's probably a Sancho Sanda practitioner, which means she's going to do some powerful counters off the kick catch. The flip side is Angela Hill. I used to have her in my fantasy leagues. I've given up. I love you, Angela. I really appreciate your striking. I really appreciate your weighing costumes. I don't think that you're going to learn any ground game, and I've given up. I still love you, but it's going to be a great fight to watch. There was another one you were telling me to watch.
Well, I'll just say this.
Yeah.
In both of these fighters, Xiaonan and Hill, they have more holes in their game than Swiss cheese. So I have
what are Yan's holes? And I'm just only reason I'm saying this. So I have a.
Well done.
Well done.
I concur.
Xiaoyan, after watching her last three fights, the one thing that I've noticed that has been the major issue in her game is her inability to see an opening to take advantage of in her opponent. She has this propensity to let a fight go longer than it should, and it leaves her open to the ability to actually losing that fight.
Now, do you think she's unaware, or do you think
she doesn't see it?
She's afraid of going to the ground.
She doesn't see it, exactly.
I think she doesn't have the ground.
She doesn't have the ground game. Luckily,
kind of panicked when she's
That's what makes this matchup interesting is that Hill doesn't have ground game either.
Yeah. Oh wow, this could be live.
Yeah. So yeah,
I have a student at Realm Charter School. His name is Shakar. He does judo and stuff. And yeah. I asked him who he thought was gonna win. He said Yan. He thought Yan was gonna win.
Hmm.
He felt very certain that was the case.
Okay.
Shout out to Shakar.
Okay. Shakar. Is he the one who wants to be an MMA fighter?
He is.
Bring him to the tribe.
We're gonna bring him in.
All right. We're gonna start with the main event. Again, this is UFC.
Just notice he said tribe though.
He's still jocking on the under. Subliminally, he's embedded into the sack.
UFC 238.
Moving on.
Henry Cejudo versus Marlon Moraes. We start this off with a heavyweight battle between Tai Tuivasa. Did I say that right, my Hawaiian brother?
Yep.
That's only
Bam Bam.
That's only because I'm wearing my my Tiny Fall honorary Kiwi now. Versus Blagoy Ivanoy. I don't even know if that's how I say your name, but I wouldn't say it wrong.
I thought it was Ivanov.
So it's
Ivanov.
The UFC loves Tai, right?
Yeah.
How could you not love Tai? He's a Mark Hunt 2.0 who's not going to argue back. He also
gives a competitive ANZAC. You guys know what that is? Australia, New Zealand Athletic Committee. It gives a regional approach to these folks. He drinks his beer out of a shoe.
Shoeies.
Very marketable. But we should talk about the guy he's facing, who's no joke.
Right.
This guy is a multiple World Series of Fighting, a.k.a. PFL champ. He beat Fedor.
He's anybody who's gonna brother. Be, I don't. Hey, Fedor and his brother are not to be taken lightly, dog.
He took off 21 months because he beat somebody up in a bar.
21 months is a long time.
And sustained time, injuries. Bro. How do bar fights usually end? With stabbings. And this fool walked away?
He's about that life.
He's one of the few UFC fighters who went to Bellator, won, and came back.
So you're trying to say that Tuivasa might have problems?
I think Tuivasa is going to have a lot of problems with this guy.
Well, I'll just say this. I'll just say this because, I mean, I've watched with these two particular fighters. I decided to go back to their last five fights. I normally keep it to three. Mm. With these two, I went back five, and I noticed one commonality. Hmm. Doesn't matter which way you go, somebody's about to get knocked out.
Right. Yes.
It's just really just that simple.
Yes.
I wish I had some articulate
deeper, some deeper
some deeper articulate analysis on this fight, but sometimes it just comes down, as Ernst likes to say, to the hands and the feet.
The hand and the feet,
and somebody is about to catch him.
I think, yeah,
and even though I've never been knocked out, so I even wrote the common sense would tell me that even though I was going to win, but I just can't go against my Polynesian heritage. So I got Ty.
If Ty misses,
but you know, if he don't knock him out early, it's going to be a long fight.
He misses that power. He's going to get
I have this one question though. Mm. Am I the only person that picks fights objectively on this podcast, or is it?
I usually do, yeah, but yes, you know, yes. Every once in a while,
I'm here.
Okay. I'm sure you got some biases somewhere.
No. Okay.
He just is. No. He's like AWACS from a Menace to Society.
Wow.
He just done so much dirt. He likes seeing other people.
Right.
So we all made our picks. Got it. Moving on to the next. We got Jimmy Rivera versus Pieter Jan. Now we're in debate about Pieter Jan's name. One thing I don't think we're in debate about is who's gonna win. I think Jimmy Rivera, despite his time with Tiger Schulman, which is incredible with his styling, I think he's injured. And I don't think he's going to recover from this injury. And I think Pieter is dangerous and will probably eat him alive, starting with leg kicks.
You know, I don't really see either fighter as being tremendously skilled. I don't really view them as skilled fighters. The way that I view them, as we know, Jimmy Rivera is a very good wrestler with some striking skill. Jan is just a guy that's all brute strength, will throw you around the octagon, and once he gets on top, it's lights out.
Yeah.
And that's literally the microcosm of these two. However, with the way that Jimmy Rivera has trended lately, I'm failing to see where he has evolved over these last 3 years.
Yep.
He looks like the exact same fighter. And as you know, if I can see it, other coaches can
the corner
as well.
Can see
right,
it.
Right.
So I just can't see a situation where Rivera wins this fight. I've got Jan by decision, but I wouldn't be surprised if he knocked Rivera out.
Mm-hmm. Wow. It's hard to argue against. It makes sense.
Right. And once again, I pretty much have the same logic as the last fight. I think Jan is probably going to win, but I'm still picking Rivera just because I'm riding with my Puerto Rican heritage.
Back to the bias. I understand.
It's like if you combine
it. I'm not mad.
There's very few Polynesian and Puerto Rican. Well, no. It's like a lot more Polynesians than Puerto Ricans.
Ty Riviera. Then you get brain. All right. Moving on to this next fight, which is going to be crazy.
This is going to be crazy. A nasty fight.
You have Donald Cerrone, who represents the rebirth of the UFC under the ownership that was Zuffa and Dana and the Fertitta brothers, right? He was the he came in through WEC at a time when people weren't really watching his weight class that way. He really put some points on the board.
You know, it's funny that you mention the Fertitta brothers.
Yeah.
Because they have a cousin who owns the Houston Rockets.
Yes.
Oh.
Right. That's deep.
Loser. Okay, continue.
They have another cousin who owns a football team. So, yeah.
What football team?
I don't know how to watch football.
I learned that last week from you guys.
Yeah.
I don't watch sports.
Again, watch that Endgame podcast.
So Donald Cerrone is symbolic of the way things used to be done, although he's had a huge transformation in his fight style since the birth of his child and is on a tear. And I find myself rooting for him. I'm especially a big fan of one of his training partners, Joe Schilling. But you also have Tony Ferguson, who, a wrestler converted into no-gi jiu-jitsu, who combines breakdancing. One might even call him a leader of the new school.
Uh-oh.
Gemini season, we know.
He knows what's... It is! Tony Ferguson has also been reborn after his injury and loss of his belt.
And he's angry.
Yeah, but he also might really have mad. CTE.
He's mad, though.
Yeah.
He might also have some issues. Like, he might have been hit too many times.
What I think is, if he lets his anger get to him...
Yes.
He could like, energy out, and Cerrone will remove his jaw.
Yes. And also, Cerrone wants to have that smoke on the ground with him. Cerrone is happy to grapple with him. Cerrone's happy to choke him out with one of his own favorite moves.
Do you think, though, that Tony Ferguson, who trains with Eddie Bravo, will have enough of a ground game to stop Cerrone?
Yes.
He definitely does. See, here's where my problem is.
Break it down.
As we know, Ferguson has won his last 11 fights.
Yep.
And he's got heart. He goes forward.
The problem is he that same guy now that he was then?
See, I don't think so.
And with all of the injuries,
I don't know what it is. Well, but there's a tangible shift. What it's rooted in, I don't know.
It's a personal issue. He has, you know, when you combined the injuries with the personal issue, then you have to wonder where. And this is true across all athletics. I don't care what anybody says. When you have personal problems that affect your psyche, and it's natural, it happens to us all.
Yep.
Some people, it's a motivator. Some people, it tears them down in their performance.
Yeah.
So I, even though I watched Ferguson, I felt like I learned nothing.
Mm.
And that's where I'm struggling. When I look at Cerrone is the same fighter with a new attitude.
Yes. Yeah.
And that new attitude is prevalent in the way that he has fought.
Yeah.
I just can't see a scenario where I can pick Ferguson in this fight. I can't do it.
I gotta say, I will be shocked if Cerrone does not win in devastating fashion. But at the end of the day, Ferguson keeps going forward, and he might find something. Yep. It's possible, but unlikely.
The only chance Ferguson has is if Cerrone feels like he has him hurt and is following up on him, and he pulls off one of those escape-like kind of D'Arce counter-wrestling moves.
Yeah,
but after Kevin Lee, after, you know... I don't know if Cerrone's going to fall for that. I think he's looking for it. So
And I think he's going to be so intent on hurting Ferguson.
Yes.
Like, for real.
Yes.
Like, he's going to be so intent
that,
like, he's not going to fall for the banana in the tailpipe. He's gonna put hands. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. What?
And by the way, we can't. I mean, Cerrone probably landed the greatest combo in mixed martial arts history.
Bro, against Miles Jury? Bro.
That was ugly.
Bro.
No. Do not forget about Marquardt.
Marquardt, yes!
And Wilson Gouveia.
Yes!
That is the greatest. And when Marquardt put it on.
Remember Marquardt against when he did the
Hadouken?
Remember he did that?
He
did the Ken Hadouken?
I still have Cerrone as the greatest. That was the greatest combo ever.
Greatest.
So, but y'all are favoring Cerrone heavily. I just want to say Ferguson is a killer, and
Was is the operative word, not is. Was.
We don't know
what he is right now.
But the mentality aside, he still has all those skills. But I do agree, he is a high IQ fighter too, so that mentality could mess him up. The only thing for me is Cerrone, he's had a tendency to get himself into wars that he shouldn't be in and then gets caught.
I don't think this but is one of
we
them.
We ain't seen that in three. We ain't seen that in three fights. And
I do want to point out real quick, Ferguson on that 11-fight streak. Yeah. Cerrone's only on a three-fight streak, but those three have been all three after Ferguson fought his last fight. So he's fresh. He's, you know, he's not ring rusty. He's ready to go. He's in a groove right now.
Right, and Ferguson hasn't been back, and I suspect he's been hiding injuries. Speaking of no injuries, I think we're ready for our co-main event. I'm going to make this short and sweet, and that's not really an illusion about me. I'm just
being
Imy, you should know this show well enough to know. Valentina, the Bullet Shevchenko.
Shevchenko,
man.
Her mama name is Clay.
No.
It's absolutely.
Banjenko and Shevchenko. That's just all the ankles. Let's just throw them in.
And by the way, up there, there's a Black Panther, and it's made by Funko. Okay, so the Bullet is one of my favorite fighters to watch. I love her style. She's going to be facing Jessica Eye, Evil Eye, who might be the female version of Stipe Miocic. Is that fair? Tenacious kind of style? Strong boxing okay. with wrestling?
He shoulder shrugged that. I'm not sure you're convinced.
She's super tenacious. She's really good. But short of being hit by a truck, Valentina is not losing this belt.
Right.
There's not a single person in the division who could threaten her right now. And she's only getting better, and she's only going to train to get better and do challenging things. So Valentina by decision.
Decision? You said all of that to end it with a decision?
Decision.
She doesn't.
You said something about a truck, and then you said, oh, she doesn't.
She doesn't really go.
Generally, no.
She doesn't go for kills. She does not. She's too tactical.
However, again, this is just one of those fights where after watching the film, there's really nothing eloquent for me to say. So, ladies and gentlemen, plainly and shortly put, Jessica Eye stands not a snowball's chance in hell, and this fight will be quick. It will be quick.
First round, bro? First round?
Wow. It will be quick.
Wow. Okay, okay. So, I don't see that, but okay.
Yeah, I also have Valentina.
I'm just
by
confused because knockout. By knockout.
Or TKO.
Yes, I've got her at knockout.
Okay.
Nice.
Okay. That makes sense. That kid Shakar, he said that he felt like Shevchenko was going to be very dominant.
We're going to get Shakar on here.
Shakar, come get on the show. Stop playing.
Stop playing.
However, I will say this. Shevchenko's ground game is light years better than I's. So, I mean, it's not even close.
And a transition.
Really? It's not even close.
And her takedown transitions, like she can do nasty. It's like she does a lot of Sancho stuff where she can use the side kick and then turn it into like a judo throw.
Ooh, I love stuff like that.
Yeah, she's nasty.
Right.
Yeah, just look at videos of her. You'll just see her like kicking a tree. Or like, I think the most telling, and I always come back to this, was when everybody was sure that, what's her name? The Peruvian princess was going to beat her.
He's talking about Pena.
Pena. Yeah. She's sitting there sipping coffee. Valentina's up on a mountain doing yoga postures and doing sidekicks. I was like, yep, I can see where this fight's ending. So we're going to take another break. Drink some water. Argue.
It's a cool beverage.
Probably attack me for my musical choices.
Never attack. Just
you
saying
were not
that,
attacked, bro. You were nah. questioned. You
oh,
were
now
questioned.
We're not attacking.
You were questioned.
Roll back the film.
You were questioned.
Now we're not attacking.
You were questioned.
Oh, you want to really roll back the film?
Now we're not attacking.
Because we have receipts, man. Come on, man.
Exhibit
on,
A. Man. Just y'all think see, you, exhibit A exposes you.
Y'all think you have receipts, it, but they really just church raffle tickets. That's all. Wolf tickets. I am the Sweet NBA. We have our very special guest this month.
West Coast.
He's not the West Coast. He's from the West Coast. I would say his name, but he didn't give me no permission, so I just call him the Bishop of Hip Hop.
Thank you. Thank you.
I'm always joined by
the Dr. Jamil Kail Akinzen Yusi.
As well
that
as
sound beautiful?
Brain damage.
Off top, boy.
Everything you see, hear, experience on this podcast and every other podcast we're a part of is brought to you by Deshaun Davis at Dream Air Productions. If you need some video editing, you need some photography, you need some music, then you need to hit him up.
Capital D.
For real.
Little E.
Stop playing.
Capital S.
Right now.
We'll be right back.
Holla at your boy.
Westside. And we are black.
As hell.
Back.
News
and brown.
And brown.
Newsflash. What show were y'all watching?
What
show were you watching? I don't want to spoil it because Double D is still working on getting through Game of Thrones. But I've been watching 2 weeks of disgusting, stupid Facebook posts. And people are surprised by the ending. It's like, what show were you watching? But we'll come back to that. So we're now at our favorite part. And you're just going to have to nerd out with us.
I'm all in.
Are you ready, sir?
I'm ready.
It is now time for the
main event of the evening. Introducing first, fighting out of the blue corner. He is making his way from Brazil by way of New Jersey, USA. Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the challenger, Martin Moraes.
Magic. That was impressive.
And the champion, fighting out of the red corner, coming to you out of Phoenix, Arizona, an All-American wrestler out of Hofstra College.
Hofstra, that's a hell of a college.
Ladies and gentlemen, give it up for the flyweight champion of the world, Henry the Messenger Cejudo.
And bantamweight champion.
Not yet. This is for the bantamweight title.
Right.
No. He knocked TJ Dillashaw out and became champion.
Before that, TJ went down to get the flyweight.
He was for the flyweight title, though.
Yeah.
The bantamweight title's now vacant.
I gotta say, you're leveling up these announces. They're actually my favorite part. Noticing, little pattern. You notice the people who talk to Bruce Buffer when he announces always get knocked out?
Are you serious?
I notice things.
What do you mean?
So TJ, when he's saying his name, he's like, you know, he's talking to him, they get knocked out.
Never noticed that.
Oh, Dan Hardy.
Right. Mike Chiesa. Everyone who talks to Buffer and they're so pumped that he's saying their name, they don't make it.
So never noticed that.
So you're saying, when you're in a cage, you got to stay down? You got to keep your head down or like face
or
your
Or you just don't talk to Buffer. Just
team,
like
you got to face your team or like look down at the UFC.
Just like co-founder Ja pointed out, anytime you do a interview before the fight, embedded and you're in the barbershop, you're going to lose.
Really?
He knows that. Everybody who does their interviews in the barbershop, they lose. The Pettis brothers stopped getting interviews in the barbershop. They started winning again.
What the hell is that?
I don't know. I'm just noticing these little rituals. So how do we contextualize this great fight? Because I think it's actually pretty hard to call. JK may disagree. You guys may disagree. You take Henry Cejudo, an Olympian. He made it to the Olympics. That's impossible.
Okay.
He not only made it to the Olympics, he made it to the Olympics for wrestling as an American.
That's huge.
It's really hard to do. We're one of the five countries in the world that's good at it, but we don't support it as a government. We don't really give money.
Not like we should.
Okay. He's on the same team with who?
Daniel Cormier.
Thank you. Who else? Couple other famous names.
There's a lot of hitters, though.
Tyron Woodley.
Who else? And if you got Tyron Woodley, you got who else?
Frankie Edgar.
And?
Ben
Askren, right?
Ben Askren, that's right.
Right, so this is a high-performing team.
That ultimately, overall, finished fourth.
Correct. But this guy won.
But he won the gold, right?
He got the gold.
He did.
So he's gotten gold medals in the Olympics in wrestling, right? Which is not a slouch at all. It's very exceptional. PhD level kind of combat. And then on top of which, it's still controversial. I will not say other people he beat, but he beat TJ Dillashaw on EPO.
Quickly. With authority.
I mean, hey, sometimes you get knocked out.
That other thing is a decision I still don't agree with. And I'm never going to.
I knew it was going to happen because I could tell going into round four that it was two rounds apiece. And I said the winner of this round is going to win this fight.
But if they ran it back, it wouldn't happen that way. So.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, but I, you know what?
I agree.
You know what? And you guys know I normally don't subscribe to this, but I completely think that it was a setup, personally.
I think
the way everything's like, business. Oh, and here's the door, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah, all of a sudden, and we he's buy in you one out? FC.
Hashtag capitalism. Yep.
Yeah.
So we know that Cejudo's pedigree is undeniable. What do we know about Moraes? So he's been bodying these flyweights for the last 3 years. I mean, this guy just finishes
bantams.
Yeah,
bantams. Yeah, you're right.
And he was the champion at what World Series?
The World Series of Fighting.
Yeah,
right.
He trains with Mark Henry out in New Jersey. So what does that mean? He's got access to Thomas Almeida Jiu-Jitsu, which really means he's got access to Henzo Gracie, which really means he also has access to John Donaher.
Do you mean Ricardo Almeida?
Ricardo Almeida, one of the Almeidas. His mama named
Clay. Who actually is also a judge for mixed martial arts in the New Jersey Athletic State.
Yes.
So.
Yes.
One of the first MMA.
Thank goodness. Can we get some more?
Become a judge, right?
Can we get some more?
So I'm
not saying any names.
I don't know for certain, but I'm guessing at this level, this dude's in a gym with names we know like Zabit, Edgar. Woo.
Zabit is not to be trifled with.
Magomed Sharipov.
Barbosa.
Barbosa left.
Oh.
ATT.
What?
Yep.
Wow.
Down in Florida to chase his Muay Thai coach. So Alvarez, Muslim Sokolov, the king of Kung Fu. Corey Anderson. Sorry, Corey. Sorry, I tried. My co-hosts won't take you seriously. I keep trying to convince them.
But thank you for changing from 25-8 to overtime.
Yeah, I'm dead. Sajara Eubanks, who looked super impressive in her last outing.
They made her go up, right?
Yeah. She had no business missing weight.
She missed weight in that fight, too.
Really? Yeah, okay.
Oh, she pulled the rumble?
Yeah. She missed weight in that fight, too.
Pulled the rumble.
I think
though.
She was 4 pounds overweight, as a matter of fact.
Shout out to Anthony Johnson. Shout out to Anthony.
Love you, Rumble.
Thank you, Rumble.
I heard that Kendall was going well. Congratulations, brother.
And his cannabis businesses. Did you know that?
Well, there you go.
And did you see him when Lobov and Paulie Malignaggi got into it, and he's like holding him back while just like recording the whole thing.
Rumble tried to spoil me and Brain. We were chilling with him at 193, and he was like, y'all want some champagne? You want some caviar? Which you want? And then we're like, well, why are you being so nice to us? He's like, I'm not used to cool black people. Come on. It was a great day. No, it was very cool.
That's dope.
Then I started talking.
I wish I had a cool story like that. All my cool stories are full of hate.
Wow, I don't know. I'm wearing the Cormier shirt, who's on the same team with Cejudo. You know, I have tried to find reasons to hate Cejudo.
Olympic team.
Because I'm bitter and biased, but they're not there. I like his coach, Captain America, but I still think Moraes wins by TKO.
Hey, my student Shakar said...
Yes.
Moraes by TKO.
He said because... His wrestling and his submission is underrated, and he said that because his wrestling is better than people think, that Cejudo's going to have a much harder time with him than he thinks, and he could get caught.
And his striking, though.
Yeah,
that's
what he's saying. So he's like, he's not really going to be able to punk him with the wrestling and the ground game, and that could leave him susceptible to getting.
And he got that. He figured out how to before Barbosa left. Moraes figured out how to get that nasty switched left kick. Like, he could throw a power switch left kick and touch somebody's head in less than a second.
Yeah. So, we're going to see. But I think Cejudo, if he goes, he will not go quietly.
No.
And so, you got to know that. Like, if you're going to beat him, you really beat him. Because he's going to throw everything at you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Everything.
And quick and fast and early.
He's explosive.
And we know he don't quit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's what
even,
makes it great.
Even when Mighty Mouse beat him with the early finish, it was like he had to rock him like two or three times. Yeah.
Like you really got to finish him. Like you really got to finish him. And so I'm excited. I think this is going to be bananas.
I do too. Yeah. This is a really good card, actually. Yeah.
Boy, you know what? There are a few things that are problematic for me. A few things. One, One, sure, we know about Henry Cejudo's wrestling.
Right.
Right? And to your point, Adisa, if I can just bring a counteraction to that, if I can.
Would you?
One of the things that concerns me about what your student said is now Cejudo doesn't have to chop weight. And I think that's going to play a very big part in his ability to wrestle. Me personally, when you're looking at Cejudo, minus having to cut weight, it may make him an unstoppable wrestling machine.
Right, because then he's going to be comfortable. He's not going to be dehydrated.
His cardio is going to be...
I don't see an issue with Cejudo being able to take down Moraes. So and sure, Moraes' wrestling is better than people think. However, we're talking about...
He said a submission game is better, too.
And it is. It is. However... since you're new to the podcast, I got this little, saying.
Yes, yes.
And that is, when you go to their place, you punch them in the face.
Oh, okay.
That's his answer to jiu-jitsu.
And that changes the whole fight with jiu-jitsu practitioners.
This is not a question. That's a fact.
Yes. So the thing is this. If he is able to get Moraes on his back, I do not see Moraes getting up. I don't.
You talking about through the length of the fight, or this is like some round one?
I'm talking about any time he gets him on his back. I think he will have a very difficult time getting up.
Okay.
If Moraes is not able to wall walk, it's gonna be a problem.
So what you're saying is Moraes, if they have a takedown exchange, Moraes is going to lose.
He will lose it. However,
and fighting off his back is not going to be significant enough to move. So he has to have enough. He has to have enough scramble to get back up.
Either that, or be close enough to the cage to the point where he can wall walk.
What about the converse? What if Moraes puts Cejudo on his back? If he gets, I have a feeling if Cejudo gets put on his back, he's going to get destroyed.
Maybe, but I will say this. In contrast, right, Cejudo has to be diverse in his ability to take down. Because if he is not, Moraes will put him down with a dirty knee. So Cejudo has to be strategic in the way that he chooses to take down Moraes.
Yeah.
Right. He needs to make sure that his takedown angles and attempts are diverse enough to the point where there is no pattern.
Now that's that.
That's very important in this fight.
That's the diabolical doctor. Whoa. He said something about dirty knees, and I feel like, producer, is that pause-worthy? I feel like even if that's a martial arts technique, it sounds wrong, right? Gave him the dirty knee.
As soon as I mentioned Yan in the holes, I knew.
Yeah.
But
we're back.
My thing is that I have a gut feeling that I've seen it so many times when the wrestlers start knocking people out and they fall in love with that striking.
Yep.
And
yeah,
if he decides to trade with Moraes early, it could end badly for him.
See, that's what I'm saying. If he gets comfortable, Moraes is counting on comfortable.
Yeah, and he's going to have to get rocked before he goes, oh, snap, I should wrestle this guy.
Well, you know however, I mean? However.
And Moraes has a power where he doesn't just rock you, he puts you out cold.
However, with all of that being said, and I do like that point, however, we're talking about a guy that just beat TJ Dillashaw and Demetrius Johnson. I'm just saying.
I'm not saying that the Dillashaw victory was a fluke. I'm not saying it was a fluke, but I think he took advantage of a moment. I'm not sure he could do that again.
I agree with that. However, I'm just saying that at some point, you have to look at a guy's track record. This guy has been on the top stage in the world for half of his life, and he continues to perform, but still continues to field doubt.
You know what's deep about him?
At some point.
He looks like he might be. I think the most dangerous thing about Cejudo right now is he looks like he could be entering a very good zone. And that's when people are really dangerous. Like, I remember, you know, BJ Penn back in the day, you know, and BJ Penn, like Ferguson, you never knew what BJ was going to step in the cage. It might be the devastating BJ, you're like, what is going on with BJ?
You're right.
And this is someone that I knew in that time. Okay.
You're right.
But it is a sad time for anyone when a great fighter is in their zone. And if Cejudo is entering the zone that he appears to be, it could be nasty for a while.
And anyone
who steps in.
And you know, to your point.
You know what the scariest thing about Cejudo is? Mm. Let's not forget, the man jumped from a burning building and survived.
True.
There's no way back from that.
True.
Right?
That's another level
another level. Like, he's fighting for something different. Right?
And he can go to a place that you have to be taken to understand.
The only other people who are in that kind of realm are people like Cerrone.
Yeah.
Right? Because you've had that near-death experience where you're like, that don't scare me.
Yeah.
You got a couple punches? That's cute. Right.
And this is what I mean. When you couple that with the fact that this guy has been on a world-renowned stage for half of his life.
Yeah, consistently. Like, that's
consistently and consistently produces. It gets to a point where you have to start looking and say, you know what?
He wrong.
Maybe this guy is good.
This might be the dude. This might be the dude.
Just maybe this guy is good. And it amazes me how much this guy continues to win and win and win and steal, and yet, just for whatever reason, there's a but.
There always is. That's
there's
true.
There's a yeah, but.
That's true.
Yeah, but. Yeah, but this. Yeah, but that. You want to know what the last time that happened and I saw it? The Golden State Warriors. And now, all of a sudden, they're great. Maybe Cejudo is on that level. Just
he
maybe.
He might be. He really might be.
Yeah, he might be.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying that the evidence is there.
And we will find out June 8th, UFC 238. I've had an absolute blast. I hope you will come back.
Dude, I can't wait, bro.
And I think we should continue this. We'll definitely be on Bishop. We should talk more.
Yeah. Come on, Bishop Chronicles, and kick it, dog. We should go.
And we should definitely just keep this going, because the convo about jujitsu and training and whatever, there's too many black belts in the room. We got to figure this. We got to keep going. We're building out this network. I am the Sweet NBA, our very special guest,
Adisa Banjanko.
Check out, where can they find your podcast?
Yo, bishopchronicles.com or farsidetv.com. That's Farside with the PH.
And you got a book or two?
Yeah. Bobby Bruce in the Bronx. You can cop that on Amazon, boy. Bobby Bruce in the Bronx.
And also, you have a federation that people can donate to?
Yeah. Well, actually, yo, the Hip Hop Chess Federation, we're actually getting ready to revamp and relaunch. Nice. Revamp and relaunch. A lot of people think, man, listen.
When you relaunch, you have to come back and we'll do a show about it.
Yeah, in fact, when we do the relaunch, it'll be here. For sure.
All right.
No doubt.
All right.
Thank you for having me. You're all awesome. And this is fun, man.
Thank you for coming, man.
Anytime you want to come here, the answer is yes. Even if like Rashad Evans is booked, we'll bump him for you. I am always joined by my co-host,
the doctor, Jamil Kail Akinzenyusi.
As well as
brain damage.
Everything you see, experience, watch, enjoy, laugh at was brought to you by the wonderful super producer himself, Deshaun Davis at Dreamier Productions. Without further ado, we always end with...
Shoot!